Let's welcome in our next guest. You can find him on Twitter at Mitch_Harper. You can read him at 1320kfan.com. You can read him at CougarNation.com, BYU's Rivals affiliate. And, of course, you can hear him right here on our show as our BYU Insider. It is Mitch Harper. Mitch, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, happy to be on, guys.
So how surprised were you that a guy in Alden Tofa today chose BYU? He had a very impressive offer sheet. How surprising was that?
You know, it wasn't too surprising, Gunther. You know, everything was kind of trending the last few weeks for Tofa to eventually pledge and make it official that he was going to BYU. But I think when you look at the grand scheme or the big picture of BYU recruiting over the last few years, it is surprising to see a guy like Alden Tofa and see a guy like Lorenzo Fawatea and even Chaz Aliu. Those are names that just you weren't seeing at BYU in recent years. And local prospects now have been a huge priority for BYU. They've always been a big priority, but it's even bigger with Kalani Sake because he understands that the Polynesian community is very strong in this state, and he has a lot of relationships, and he wants to build on those relationships to get them to BYU and have that pipeline once again in Provo. And so getting a guy like Alden Tofa in the big picture, it is a bit surprising to see BYU getting in the mix once again for those guys.
Mitch, maybe I don't travel down to Provo enough, but do they regularly have helicopters land in the middle of Lavelle Edwards Stadium? I mean, how common is, how did they keep this under wraps that they had, obviously, a big four-star recruit film this huge video?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story because, you know, for BYU, I mean, most people that follow BYU recruiting over the years, BYU's never been the team that gets a kid that makes some, you know, big announcement on signing day and kind of bucking the trend, getting a kid like Chaz Aliu on signing day. But yeah, this story started to kind of leak out a little bit online on the internet, and we were kind of hearing some rumblings that there was going to be some video with Bleacher Report involving Chaz Aliu. But yeah, I mean, for him, that's why not? I mean, your high school kid, you live once, because once you get to fall camp, you know, you're just going to be another guy in the program. So why not enjoy being the celebrity that he's going to be for now? But he will have an opportunity. I just talked with Elisa Tuiaki a little bit ago, and he even told me, he said that he was a man among boys in high school, and he's someone that from day one could have an opportunity, will have an opportunity to be in the two deep right away at that safety spot and compete to replace Kainaku. I mean, that's the type of impact that they're looking from Chaz Aliu, who is going to play 1 year before serving a mission. He does have mission plans in the future, but he'll be available in 2017, and he's going to roll in the summer semester, so he'll have a full summer, kind of get acclimated, get used to a weight and conditioning program at the D1 level before he gets the field in fall camp.
What type of recruit was Chaz Aliu? How impressive were some of his other offers, and how would you compare him to some of BYU's other top recruits they've landed over the last few years?
Yeah, he's a significant recruit. I mean, originally was at Westlake High School, played his final year at high school at Tippview High, had to transfer. His father's on BYU staff. He helps down the recruiting department. But that didn't really play much of a role in this. I mean, Jason Aliu's father really let Chaz kind of play this out and make his own decision. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the offers that Chaz Aliu was getting, you know, that in and of itself, getting offers from UCLA, Washington, Notre Dame, the who's who, really, of college football. And for him to pick BYU, that speaks volumes. And I think it turns a little bit ahead on the recruiting trail. And, I've talked to a lot of people from, you know, both networks, Rivals and Scout, a lot of the national people. And the common consensus with these guys when they look at BYU recruiting now is just this BYU staff really understands today's landscape of recruiting, where you kind of have to cater to these 4- and 5-star kids if you want to have a legitimate shot. Before, that just wasn't happening at BYU, and you're seeing this staff at pretty much every camp they possibly can be at, every 7-on-7 camp they can, and they're using all their resources to try and get these kids, and it's really showing, and that's why you're seeing BYU, you know, close very well in the state of Utah and regionally here out west.
Our BYU Insider, Mitch Harper's our guest, 1320K fan. Mitch, positive and negative surprises today for BYU, or did this all go according to plan?
It pretty much went all according to plan. I think one negative maybe is a kid like Brandon Smith. He's a cornerback from California. Played at the same high school as former BYU running back Curtis Brown. he was someone that BYU was on for pretty much the last year. And then Cal swooped in last week and offered their new coaching staff with Justin Wilcox. He took an official visit to Cal, and that really was a game changer for him. He just announced that he's going to go to Cal about an hour or two ago. So, I mean, maybe that's a little bit of a negative just in terms of how much effort was put into that recruit compared to what Cal did. So I think that maybe is the negative. And also Mo Unitoa, he was someone that was kind of a 50-50 toss-up going into signing day, whether or not he'd go to BYU or Utah. He goes to Utah, one of the top offensive linemen from the state of Hawaii. But all in all, I think BYU feels pretty good about where they stand. They did get a few surprises. Kyrese Tonga, a defensive lineman who originally signed with Utah out of Granger High, he's currently on a mission. Elisa Tuiaki raves about him. He feels that he could be someone that's a contributor, depending on where his physical shape is at when he gets back from the mission. But Satake and Tuiaki have been high on him dating back to his days when they were at Utah. So there was a few surprises along the way, but all in all, I think it pretty much went according to plan for BYU.
There are a lot of offensive and defensive linemen, maybe three different tight ends on this class. Is BYU just in a position where this year they just lost so many bodies on the line of scrimmage, or are they just moving to the ground game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a point of focus. They're going to start and pretty much in with the offensive and defensive lines. They want to win in the trenches, and I think you look at the makeup of this staff, their strengths overall are evaluating offensive linemen. I think that's one thing that's kind of maybe a bit concerning big picture for BYU recruiting is, can they land the elite skill position guys? You know, Kalani Satake and Elisa Tuiaki and Steve Kafusa, they can evaluate linemen and get pretty good linemen to develop and maybe become next level players. But can they get receivers and running backs? Because they swung and missed on a lot of guys. Oliver Martin, kid who went to Michigan, he was the number one recruit out of the state of Iowa. Can they land those guys? That's one thing that I kind of look at. But going back to your original question, that's just an area of focus. They want to have big physical offensive linemen. I mean, Kalani Satake mentioned it. When he thinks old school BYU offensive lines, he just thinks of the sheer size. And that's what they want to get back to, where they get off the bus and they look like maybe an NFL offensive line. That's the type of image they want to put off.
You can find him on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper. You can read him at CougarNation.com and at 1320kfan.com or BYU Insider. Mitch, really great stuff. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, guys.